So what's the primary cause of the flooding?
So in the stockade, in the Mohawk, we have sort of two types of floods. One of them is we call free water floods. This is just, it just rains a lot. And a really good example is not good because it was really bad, but is Hurricane Irene. And in the headwaters of the Schoharie, so the Schoharie Creek is one of the primary tributaries to the Mohawk. There was over a foot of rain, very short amount of time. And ultimately that caused a huge amount of flooding in the Schoharie, but also down in the lower part of the Mohawk, including the stockade. So that's one type of flood, and that's called a free water flood. And they're, they happen repeatedly. And we had one in the upper basin around Utica in October of 2019. We often call that the Halloween flood that did a huge amount of damage in the West Canada Creek. The other type of flooding that's quite unique to this area is ice jam flooding. And so ice gets caught up and it has trouble getting over the dam that's just downstream from Schenectady. That's called the Vischer Ferry Dam. So it gets, ice kind of gets caught up in that, what we call the Schenectady pool there. And once the ice gets caught up, it can actually get thick enough and dramatic enough that actually stops or impedes flow of the river and causes backup flooding. And in fact, the stockade, most flooding that we've shown in some studies that we've done, most of the flooding is backup flooding from ice jamming. So there's been a very, very intense scrutiny in the past year or so on ice jamming and how we can try to alleviate that ice jamming. But the stockade sees flooding from both that free water flooding and from that ice jam flooding.
So what are some of the strategies to reducing the ice jam flooding?
So the ice jamming is being looked into by the New York Power Authority and the Canal Corp. And there's a task force of which I'm on, which has been now in over a year, actually, sort of looking at possible solutions and remediations to the ice jamming. And I think that the one of the most important findings that we've made is we're not going to get rid of ice jamming. and that's partly because we've inherited a sort of a bottleneck in the river from glacial times where it's really, really narrow in a place called the Rexford Knolls, and that's just not going away. But short of that, we've figured out using computer modeling by my colleagues up at Clarkson University, we can use computer modeling to model the ice and then think about ways of fixing it. And one way that we're trying right now is to break the sheet ice before an ice jam happens. And so there's actually ice breakers in the water right now that are actively breaking up the ice so that that doesn't actually hold up the flow. But there's gonna be more long-term solutions that are related to potentially actually lowering the crest of the Vischer Ferry Dam so that we can flush the water out. So that ice jam breaker strategy, but also the strategy of lowering the dam are the two primary ways that we're looking at. There's also a final thing that we're thinking about, which is dredging and making the channel in a couple of places. The channel appears to be impaired by a lot of sediment. And if we can remove that sediment, we might be able to make the channel more an even width and depth all the way through this critical section.
So I believe in the last newsletter that you put out, you said that this is also reflective of a trend across the US that there's more flooding occurring.
This is particularly pronounced in the Northeast. And the what we're seeing is two things. Three things really that are important to think about in terms of the hydrology of the river or sort of how water moves through the river. One is that the total amount of precipitation that we get on an annual basis is gone up. And the second one is that we're seeing more intense precipitation events. And sometimes these are referred to as extreme events, and extreme events are it depends kind of on the definition, but most people sort of use a two inches or greater in a 24-hour period. So these are big dumps, and it can be snow and it can be rain, but we've seen a number of them. And that Halloween storm in the West Canada Creek was a good example of that. It was, I think it was 5 to 7 inches in about 4 hours. It was just stunning amount of water that came down. And the river just can't handle, no river can handle that amount of water in that short amount of time. The other thing that we're seeing, the third thing that we're seeing, so we're seeing more precipitation. We're seeing more intense precipitation, but we're also seeing warmer winters. And so the warmer winters, I mean, this is probably not the right time to talk about warm winters, but this has actually been a pretty warm winter. And we have gone through, in the Capital District at least, we've gone through, most of January with very little ice on the river. And if we have really, really super cold winters, of course, we get a big, thick thickening of the ice, and then we have that ice jam problem. So all three of those things are sort of working together, and there are things that we need to keep an eye on in terms of how flooding will proceed in the next 5 or 10 years. And once we figure that out, of course, then that becomes a critical element in planning for these river lining communities. Where do they put their structures and their buildings that are designed to get people to interact and enjoy the river?
So is there any hope of like working on climate change solutions that could potentially reduce flooding so there's less preventative measures that have to be taken?
I don't have a simple answer to that question, because one potential solution would be, well, what if we could just store the water? What if we had a bunch of dams and those dams had a bunch of empty space, and we get a big event, we just fill up those dams and we're good to go. That is complicated, but it's actually not crazy. And in fact, one of the things that's happened, we had this big flooding in 2011 with Irene. And then we learned a lot from that. And that part of it is that our dams can be used in part for some storage. And then in 2012, we had Hurricane Sandy that affected downstate in a very dramatic way. And after those two events, that sort of the 1-2 punch of Irene and then Sandy, New York State started thinking a little bit different about how we use dams, how we may be able to use dams for excess storage in big events, big flood events. And a good example of this is actually the Gilboa Dam, which is up in the headwaters of the Schoharie Creek. And so that's part of the Mohawk watershed. And that dam, the last big event we had was right at Christmas in 2020, the day before Christmas. And they actually lowered it to make room for a lot of anticipated snowmelt and rain. So you're right in that there are ways to think about sort of mitigating these big events. But I would caution that they only have a limited amount of space and power to take care of these big events. And to a certain extent, I think we need to change our way of thinking, and we need to sort of adapt mentally to more water. And it's not the end of the world, but it's just sort of the fact of, I think, where we're at. And a lot of these technological solutions, really, it is a bigger problem than that, I guess, is one way to look at it.
So are you saying that more water is just inevitable in the state of climate change that we're currently experiencing?
In the Northeast, it looks like that's the trend. It may change tomorrow, but the trend has been for several decades now, more and more water. And that's having an effect on the hydrology of the river. I'd note that it's bigger. The problem is bigger than that, though, because there's sort of two other things that happen simultaneously while we get more water. And let's go underground here for a minute and think about a municipal water supply and sewage. So remember, we have water coming in and then we have water going out. that water going out through sanitary sewer lines and stormwater sewers, pick a community, Utica, Herkimer, Amsterdam, Schenectady, Cohoes, doesn't matter. Pick a municipality, and you'll find that there's a huge challenge right now to handle all that water in a municipal system in pipes that are getting really old and leaky. And so you know, most of those pipes are 50, 100, in some cases 150 years old. So they're quite old, they're leaky, they're not made to handle as much water as they're handling now. So here's a secondary effect that we really, really need to be thinking about. This is our infrastructure, our water infrastructure, and it's in trouble. In many of these communities along the Mohawk, but across the state actually. And the problem, of course, is that if you have a sanitary sewer that's taking sewage to the local sewage treatment plant, but it leaks, and especially leaks if it's totally full because you've had a big rain event, that means we get sewage going directly into our water bodies. And this is happening. This is happening. And we're working on a problem right now in Schenectady, a small little tributary that goes into the Mohawk called the Hans Grootkill. And it has very, very high sewage levels in it that are not direct. We think that they're indirect from leaking pipes. And it's especially pronounced and bad at high water flows. So one of the groups that's been working on this is Riverkeeper, which is based on the lower part of the Hudson, has been working in the Mohawk on water quality issues. And there's just no question that the water quality results, and this is primarily bacteria, testing of bacteria in surface waters, is the worst when it rains. And so they publish their findings regularly. Anybody who's interested can look them up. And there are advisories that come out, especially after it rains. So your question about, sort of what do we do with respect to technology and this excess water, there's a secondary effect that I think is really important, but sometimes gets ignored or is just not on the radar screen of most people thinking about the problem.
Yeah,